Well, here we are once again on a fine Monday, because Mondays are always fine, because Local Matters comes on at 5:30. And we have someone today that I have known for at least 50 years in the studio today, Dr. Walter Derryberry. How are you, Walter?
Well, I'm pretty good, thank you. A little crippled, but that's what old age is for, isn't it?
That's what old age is for. You had a birthday not too long ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I turned 84 on May the 9th.
84, and you look more and more like your dad.
Oh, dear, don't say that.
President Derryberry from Tennessee, the man that made Tennessee Tech what it is today, in my opinion.
Well, I guess in mine, too, because when we came here, you know, there were only, I think, 6 or 7 buildings and 50 faculty and 300 students.
That's right.
So it has grown some. Like Topsy, it has growed.
It has growed and growed.
Yes, yes.
Well, I have wanted you to come in today. He told me, folks, before we started, he said, I don't know why you have me in here. I don't consider myself very interesting or fascinating, but I do. Your mother, sweet Joan Derryberry, artist. And I know you have so many of her paintings. I know you collect wonderful art in your home.
I do, and I have a lot of hers, because the difference, my sister has a lot of hers, probably a little more than I do, but that's because she would walk in and say, oh, Mother, I love this painting. Can I please have it? And Mother would say, of course, darling, take it. And when I went in and say, Mother, I got to have that painting, she says, $500.
Well, you were the doctor. You were the medical doctor. Maybe she thought you had the money and June didn't. Who knows?
Well, yeah.
And that's maybe looking at it from a mama's perspective. I don't know.
Well, she would have given it to me had I asked, but I didn't think it was right to ask, because I paid everybody else I bought paintings from, so why shouldn't I buy hers?
Well, I have one of hers.
And good.
She was our neighbor at one time, and when they built their home, when your dad and her retired, they built a beautiful home out in what I know was the old Lowland subdivision.
Right, me too.
And yes, and she had her art studio. let's see, Walter, it was on the basement floor, the southeast. Okay, and I could look out the front door of the home that my mother and daddy built there, out there.
Yeah.
And look straight on.
Right.
To the southeast where her studio was.
Right.
And I recognized it. She had an art show at the Art Society's gallery.
Yes, more than one.
Oh, yes. But this was way back, you know, like way back.
Yeah.
And Dwight bought it for me for an anniversary present. And it has hung in my living room and still is.
Well, good.
And it's the view that I had stepping out on my parents' front porch.
Oh.
It's the view she had looking out the southwest, and the one I had looking straight on. So that was okay. Great. I know you have a lot of paintings. Did you get, I'm pretty sure, I'm guessing here, that you got your talent for music and for art from her, or from them both?
From her. I was never any kind of an artist. I've tried to paint, but I just can't do it. It doesn't come out looking three-dimensional, or it's awful. It's like painting by the numbers. But I got my musical ability from her. She started giving me piano lessons when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
And I played in my first recital that same year.
At 4 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, those of us who graduated or even went to Tech for a short period of time, we know her as the First Lady of Tennessee Tech. And there have been others that have been delightful also. But your mother was one of a kind. Your daddy was a Rhodes Scholar. At
yes.
Oxford, and
yes.
You met your mom. She was a Brit.
Right.
Had a beautiful British accent.
Well, if you say so. It just sounded like mother.
I know it did. And you don't have it. You or your sister, either one. I find that terribly interesting, having been a former speech teacher.
We grew up in Putnam County, so that's why we don't have her accent.
It's what you hear.
Yes.
And you didn't hear. I used to tell students that, you know, it's the ear for the English language that you hear.
Right.
And, but anyway, she taught you at 4 years old, huh?
Mm-hmm. You know, she had been a concert pianist.
I knew that. Yes.
Yeah.
And came all the way over here. She must have loved your daddy, huh?
Well, I guess so. Maybe it's her only offer.
I doubt that. Your mother was a very
pretty
woman.
Well, she said that in her youth, so many of the eligible young men had been killed in the First World War.
Oh, yeah.
And so she had to take what she could get, so she got daddy.
She probably said that in his presence, right?
No, said it to me.
Oh, she just said it to you. Okay. Well, they lived a long life under the same roof.
Right. Well, so, over 50 years. I don't remember exactly how many.
Yeah. But I know you took that musical talent, and you were the organist at the Episcopal Church here in Cookeville for many years.
39 years. 39. Organist and choir master, yes.
Wow. Wow. Do you play at all?
I would if I could, but I can't, so I don't.
This old age is not fun, is it?
No, but it's because I had a mild stroke some years ago, and now my hands won't do what I want them to. My little finger wanders. So if I'm...
I have that same problem with arthritis, you know? Well, that's too bad, because you played a mean organ, as the kids would say.
And I loved doing it, yes. And then I had to quit playing the organ because I had what they called a spontaneous rupture of the anterior Achilles tendon, which is the tendon that goes from your shin bone down to your great toe. That gave me foot drop, and I refused to play the organ with foot drop because, you know, I couldn't trust the foot.
Yeah.
And I used both feet constantly on the pedal board. So,
yes, you did. I've seen you play more than once, and you were moving all the time.
Right.
If your feet weren't, your hands were, or at the same time, you know, it's like, can you scratch your head and rub your belly at the same time? I can't do that either. I can play. Well, I probably couldn't even do that now. What a Friend We Have in Jesus was my daddy's favorite hymn. And I did learn to play that with both hands. But I hated practicing the piano, unfortunately, because I don't play at all now. I guess I could still play What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But anyway, talking with Dr. Walter Derryberry, a very fascinating man. He has a love for art. He has a love for music. Yeah. I know you've been a great supporter, you and your late wife, Alice, of the symphony here.
Yes.
At Tennessee Tech, still are.
Right.
And you also have a love for theater.
Oh, my, yes.
Oh, my. How many lead roles have you under your belt, so to speak?
I couldn't tell you right offhand.
I know you played King Arthur.
I played Arthur, and I played the King of Siam twice in King and I, and I played Tevye in The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to...
It was... Tevye was Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, right. And then I played... Sudeless in The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
I was in that show. Do you remember I had on a tiger
yes.
dress or some little outfit and had jewelry that looked like snakes around my arm? I don't remember the character I was. It was a bit part, but I had a great time.
Oh, yeah. Everything about being on stage was fun, especially when it was directed by Marge Hargrove. She was some kind of good director.
Oh, Marge. Anybody that's been around theater... just to this day, the Cookeville Performing Arts Center, the Marjorie Hargrove Auditorium was named. The auditorium there at the CPAC was named in her honor before she passed.
Right.
And you and Carl Fincher did lots of shows together.
Well, maybe three or four.
And you and Alice, your wife.
She was in Fiddler.
She played Golda.
Yeah, and, no, she, yes.
And
she
you did. Were Tevye in... Fiddler on the Roof, and I was the fiddler.
Oh, you
don't
were.
You remember me crawling? Joyce and I were talking about that when I had Joyce Tatum on my show a couple of weeks ago. You know, we were talking about her theatrical experiences and that some we had shared, but she said, I remember you crawling around on top of all the set pieces with your fiddle. And I had a beard on. Nobody
Goodness.
Knew me.
Oh.
And I didn't have my name in the program. I think we had like F. Brown, which my maiden name is Brown, and my middle name, I was named after my mom, Judy Francis. So in addition to, that's how I had it in the program. Was
that your choice? Or?
No, it was my choice.
Okay.
And I told Marge I wanted to do that. I said, I want to do the fiddler. I want to dance around on the top of those set pieces and like the fiddler on the roof.
I
want to be the fiddler.
Why did you not want credit in the program?
Because I was supposed to be a man.
Oh,
I had a beard. We made me a beard and everything, and a woman wouldn't have done that in that era.
Okay.
So anyway, but I do remember that show well. It's a favorite of mine. Because I loved it. I didn't have to memorize any lines or anything. I just pantomime fiddling on the roof.
Right.
So anyway, in addition to your love for music and theater and art, another thing that you, I guess it had to have been a love, you went into the medical profession.
Yes.
And that is true, really. I knew your mother and dad before I ever met you.
Oh.
And you were my doctor for many years. You helped me bring both of my children into this world.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you were starring in Arthur.
Oh, Camelot.
Camelot. Yeah, you were Arthur in Camelot. And I had my Shelley the summer that you did Arthur.
Oh, my goodness.
And I remember it vividly. I was in labor for 21 hours, and I was going pretty good. And you came in, and I said to you, what was it that Merlin called Walter?
Wasp. No, that wasn't quite right.
Well, I can't remember. Well, you got two old people here that can't remember.
Right. But it anyway, was some one wart. Syllable at wart. Wart. Yeah, wart.
I called you wart. Here I am in the throngs of labor, and my gynecologist, OBGY, walks in, which was you, and I said, get in here, wart, this baby's coming. I'm sure you don't remember that.
I do remember.
Do you?
Yes,
really?
I remember that delivery.
Yeah.
I don't remember all 7,500 deliveries, but
7,500
I remember
babies.
Yours, yes.
Oh, my goodness, Walter, that is unbelievable.
Well, it's a small town.
It is, and were you the first OBGYN?
Yes.
I thought so, in the old Shanks Hotel.
That's right.
That's the first time I ever went to see you was in 1970.
Whoa.
It was, because that was before I got married. And
oh.
we were discussing our means of birth control. We were both, Dwight was still in school, and we weren't ready for children, so I came to see you.
Hmm.
But that's been a few years ago. Like,
it
what,
has.
40 years
I started here in 1966.
Okay.
In Cookville.
1966. Well, I didn't marry till 70, so you'd been here for a while.
Right.
So anyway, what with your interest in the arts, and the visual and the performing arts, whatever possessed you to go into the medical profession?
Well, I wanted to be a doctor. Okay. Because I had an uncle that I admired greatly who was a doctor, and I thought, well, I should do that too, so I did. But then when I finished medical school and went to do my internship, the only thing I missed from medical school was delivering babies. So I said, well, that's a sign from the Lord. I got to do it.
Talking this afternoon with Dr. Walter Derryberry, we're going to take a break, Walter, and let our sponsors talk to our audience, and then we'll be back. You folks hang around and we'll hear a little bit more from Walter Derryberry.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, I hope you got some information from our sponsors that can help you in your day-to-day living. I'm talking with Dr. Walter Derryberry this afternoon. He told me I didn't have to call him doctor now that he was not practicing. You are retired, but we were talking about our theatrical experiences and other life experiences together. You have a special memory of Marge Hargrove.
Yes, it was when we were doing Oklahoma, which was the first one that I was in, really, with her.
Okay.
And Gary LaVellet was the Curly, the romantic lead, mm-hmm. opposite Carl Morgan Fincher. But anyway, he came on set singing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. And she didn't like what he was doing. You know, Marge was a fairly plump little lady. And she ran was. Down from the audience where she was watching the thing. She said, no, I want you to do it this way. And she jumped up onto the stage, put her hands on the proscenium arch and leapt up on the stage, and then she went backstage and came out showing how she wanted Curly to walk, which was a bow-legged
cowboy
walk. Yes. Yeah. And
I can see her doing that, although in her later years, she could have never done that.
Right, exactly. But she had that cowboy walk down to a fine art. It was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There were so many of us that, you know, there's people in town to this day and all over the United States, I'm sure, that met as young people, met and married. They found their spouses.
Right.
In a play in Cookeville, Tennessee that Marge had directed, a bunch of them.
Right. She always said it's a good way to keep the children off the streets in the summer.
And she was right. And yeah. She went well beyond 25 years, did she not?
Long time. I don't remember how long.
Well,
because,
I know
you know,
it was
she
over
was directing
years.
At the Tech and also at the Wesley Foundation mm-hmm. before she ever started Cookeville Summer Theater, which she yes. did start.
Oh, yes.
She borrowed the money for the first season.
About $600 that
yes,
she borrowed.
Yes, and it was enough to, she was made enough to pay it back.
Finian's Rainbow.
That's.
That
yes.
was the first one.
Yes.
Were you in it?
No.
Okay. You said that your first one was Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Mm-hmm.
What'd you play in Oklahoma?
The Persian peddler, Ali Hakim.
Ali Hakim. I remember that.
And my wife was in the second production, which was South Pacific. And so that's what got me into the mood to try out for when they came up with Oklahoma.
Okay. Her experience led you into trying.
Right.
So, well, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Well, I had to stay home with the children. And, you know, rather than get a babysitter, we were too poor at that time to get one.
You didn't have all that money you've got now, right?
Well, I don't know about it. Anyway, so I had to stay home and babysit. So the next year I said, hey, it's my turn. I'm going to try out this year, and you got to stay home and babysit. So from then on, if we were both in the play, the kids went with us. And as they aged, they knew every line of every play and could sing the songs, and they knew it.
Well, one of your sons is in New York. I know Doug is
That's
in New
Doug,
York, and
yes.
he is a professional musician.
Yes.
And he does something that maybe a lot of folks out here don't know what he does, so share that
well,
with us.
Well, he has been on Broadway because he was, for instance, he's always been a musician. So when they did Fun Home, which was a very popular play, they had the band on stage along with the actors. And so okay. I always say he was on Broadway but anyway, he's played in the pit a lot. He's a string player. He plays guitar, mandolin, banjo, and piano.
Wow.
So anyway.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me either. Yeah. So now what he does is he's the string section for the Sesame Street Band. And if you're ever watching Sesame Street and hear a guitar, banjo, or mandolin, that's Doug.
Isn't that wild? And his wife is a medical doctor.
Right. She's an internal medicine specialist. Okay. And
they live in downtown New York City?
They live in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Okay. Close enough.
Yep. Just a brief subway ride away.
Okay. All right. And then Pitt, your second son,
yep.
teaches, which doesn't surprise me. His
right.
grandparents both or teachers.
He went to a variety of colleges. Well, Eckerd College in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Tennessee Tech, of course, mm-hmm. and then University of Alabama, which is where he got his PhD. Now he is chairman of the psychology department at Western Kentucky University in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And this mm-hmm. for a kid who thought he wanted to have a shoe store when he was a teenager.
Oh, did your mother and father had both pass? So they don't know what Doug became, do they?
Well, I guess not, really.
Okay. So that's too bad.
Mother knew Doug was a good musician, but I don't think Daddy was in a position to know those things when he
right.
passed.
Right, yeah. He was, well, they both lived a long life, but still.
And then they wore out.
And then they just got tired and worn out, absolutely. It happens to all of us, doesn't it?
It does.
Sooner than later, it's on
yep.
you before you know it, let me
right.
tell you. But, you know, I have always found you fascinating because of your varied interests and talents. I mean, not everybody could bring a baby, help a woman bring a baby into this world. And
well,
there has to be.
It's going
to
happen anyway.
Yeah, but if she runs into trouble.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I'm sure you've had your fill of that.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a scary time. It
yeah.
usually is for the mother if she's conscious.
Right.
So that takes and you went to Tennessee Tech as an undergraduate.
Yes, and then University of Tennessee for med school.
Yeah.
And then interned at Cook County Hospital in Chicago, which is one of the five largest hospitals in the country at that time, then the United States Public Health Service.
How come you'd ever move back to Cookeville?
I'd always wanted to. Center Hill Lake is what drew me back. Of course, mother. But
You were very close to your mom.
You know, boys are, tend to be.
I know. I have one.
Right, I know. And so after the Public Health Service, I went to Vanderbilt for 3 years for my OBGYN residency. And then the first minute I was free, well, I take it back. Alice and I took our honeymoon after I took my last day at Vanderbilt.
Where'd you go?
Europe. All we spent about 5 weeks in England and 1 week in France.
Wow. And you went to Oxford, I'm sure, to see where you're...
I'd been to Oxford before. I went with my father once because he wanted to go back and see his old Don, who was his tutor.
Okay.
And so we went to see Mr. Coster. And that was very interesting because he showed me around, and it was... Oxford is a beautiful city. And
it is, isn't it? I had the fortune to have gone there one time and have a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. And I wasn't going to leave there without having that. But just something about Oxford, you know. Well, you got to be really smart to go to Oxford.
Or lucky.
Well, that's true. But if you don't have the smarts, you're not going to make it.
That's true. And nobody can get in like those people whose parents paid lots and lots of money to cheat their children school.
That doesn't happen. Didn't happen in those days.
Doesn't happen at Tennessee Tech either.
I know
thank
that.
Goodness.
Nope. Thank goodness it doesn't. Yeah. But your father, that's something about him that I always appreciated. He recognized the importance of education and your mother, but education in a rural area.
Yes.
How important that was.
True.
And he led the torch, so to speak.
Well,
for me, how long was he president? 39 years?
39 years, I think.
That's a long time. So you were kind of like me. My dad was an insurance person, life insurance person for 30 some odd years.
Yeah.
And the year he was to retire, the month he was to retire, he passed. But I didn't know him doing anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Just like you didn't know your dad. He when you came along, he was already
president. He became president when I was, I think, 5 years old.
Okay.
And we moved to Cookeville. We've been living in Murray, Kentucky, where he was the head of the English department at Murray State College.
Okay.
And so anyway, we moved actually on the day after Christmas of 1939.
Wow.
And so we had Christmas in Murray, and then everything had to get packed up, all the new toys and everything, to move to Cookeville.
Wow.
So we did it.
And he didn't look back. He went
Never
forward.
Did.
He just went forward.
Right.
That way he knew what his goal in life was.
He had a vision for tech, and he was
sure
determined
did.
To see it come true.
He was, and he was a stubborn fella.
Oh, would you say that?
Well, I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way.
Right.
But he was. He knew what he wanted to accomplish, and in my opinion, and many other people, he did it.
He had a clever way of doing it. If he wanted to build a new building, he would go to the state legislature, to which he went almost every day when they were in session for all those years. But he would go and he would lobby for tech, and he would, and then he'd be wanting $2 million, and so the legislature would generally give him $1 million. So he would just bank that, and he'd go back the next year and get another million.
He was quite the persuasive speaker.
Well, yes, he was.
Yeah.
He spoke best when he spoke off the cuff. He did not speak as well from a prepared, written down speech as he did from just off the cuff.
Yeah, I've been told that before.
Oh.
Not me personally. I have been, but he always was so together had it together. Whether it was off the cuff or not, you couldn't tell. Because I thought he always did well, but you saw, I mean, that's your daddy. You're going to pay a whole lot more attention to him.
Well, mother told me that, actually.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she would know.
She knew him better than anybody. Yeah.
I'm sure that's true.
And she was a very good public speaker herself.
I know. Yes, she was. I want to thank you for coming out today to be with me.
Thank you for letting me come. It's been fun.
It has been fun. And you don't know how interesting you are to start talking about yourself now, see?
Well.
But I do appreciate it. And
thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad. I am glad. You folks, hang in there the rest of the evening, cook something good for your supper, because we're getting ready to sign off for this afternoon. And Walter, we'll have you another time, all right? And we'll talk more about your painting, how you say you're not any good at that. I find that hard to believe, but you may be right.
It's true.
Okay. All right. But thank you again for being here. Appreciate
thank
you. You folks have a good rest of the night, and we will be talking with you next week. Bye-bye.